Hello and welcome to the next episode of Code and Beyond, a podcast where we talk about software development and anything beyond that. Today it's going to be about test-driven development. My name is Alex and I'm here together with my friend Pablo. Hi Pablo.
Hello Alex.
Writing tests, in my opinion, it's like flossing your teeth. Everyone agrees that it's great for your health, so your teeth will be super healthy and shiny, but not everyone does it in general or knows how to do it properly. And the same with tests. People understand that it's totally makes sense to cover your code at least with tests, and it's automation and yeah, tons of reasons to do it. But lots of people, or maybe the same people, they struggle with writing tests because sometimes it's super hard to write tests properly, that they run fast and they cover everything what is necessary. So, and today we're going to talk about this problem, this topic, share our experience, how we struggle with tests and what we do to struggle a little bit less, maybe. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning, I would like to present one highlight that I have on this week. As promised, I finished the book, yet another book of Ernst Klein. The book is called Armada, so it's a science fiction novel. Ernst Klein is an author of Ready Player One and Ready Player Two, these two books. They are about gamers, video games, and so on. This story is not exception. It's also about a teenager who is a gamer. He plays in one of these super popular games, and then these skills that he gained in the game help him. Maybe I'm not going to spoil anything. Mm-hmm. So he applied these skills he got in the game to actually save the Earth, the whole planet, from alien invasion. So how it goes, I can highly recommend the book. So as with Ready Player One and Ready Player 2, I was listening to this book, not reading it. Armada is not exception for me, so I also was listening to it. And Will Wheaton, the same narrator who did the work for Ready Player 1 and Ready Player 2, he did amazing job with Armada as well. I think I even enjoyed this narration even more than Ready Player books, so I can highly recommend.
Nice. I've just started to read Dune because, you know, the film just was released last week or something like that in cinemas, and I really want to read the book before watching the film, so I started 2 days ago. Let's see if I manage.
So shall we start with the main topic? Right,
let's go.
Yeah, test-driven development, it's not a new topic, right? I discovered many years ago when I switched to Ruby. That was the first time for me when I realized that people write tests, and that's the thing, even to write automated tests for your code. And previously, I was testing the code manually, like every time and thousand times, making mistakes and so on. And then I discovered, yeah, you could automate this process, and then everything is super stable. It repeats all the time. And when you make mistakes, you could spot them easier. Then you could run this on CI server, which is even better. But I was struggling a lot. I remember how I was complaining that I have to write double amount of code. They have to write application itself and then kind mm-hmm. of the same stuff once again for some reason to just run it automatically. Then I discovered that I was just writing this test wrong, so it's not duplication, it's kind of separate thing, right? Then I discovered TDD, tried it, complained about it a lot, because how you would write tests for something which doesn't even exist, that was absolutely unnatural for me. So yeah, that was like back and forth all the time. In the end, I somehow developed this sense, but it took years, literally. So I developed this sense when to start with TDD, when it's better to start with the code itself, and then add tests. Now, if you ask me today, I cannot imagine that I would deliver something on production, not something like a pet project, I don't know, script that I wrote for myself, mm-hmm. but something serious, like a product, right? Or tiny piece of some bigger product. I cannot imagine delivering it with no test at all. That's like mind-blowing already.
It's too risky.
Yeah. What is your story?
Probably similar to yours. I got in touch with the testing quite early. On the university times, people were already talking about TDD and testing. I didn't do anything TDD back then, but I heard about it a couple of times. Yeah, right. When I started to work as a professional developer, we did testing in that company, not TDD, but we were trying to at least have a decent coverage of functionality test and feature test. So when we deployed production, at least we had a regression coverage and things like that. I think my second professional work, something like that, was when I really got in touch with TDD. And yeah, I also really struggled at the very beginning. The first issues I had with TDD were related to the frameworks mainly. So apart from being learning the technique, which is not easy, you need to learn how to write your test to design your code, right? Because TDD is also a design technique. It's not only a testing technique.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like a, you build like a client that is consuming your code.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps you to write your code and decouple and have nice functions, classes that do only one thing, and they are easy to test and easy to compose. That's one of the benefits that you get with TDD. So yeah, apart from that, it's also a skill that you need to grow. I was struggling with the frameworks because some of them, or most of the big frameworks, they are quite coupled to databases and to other layers of your architecture. And then that makes tricky to write focus tests or unit tests that are focusing one component. You try to test a specific class. That class is super tied to the database. And then you have a big setup in order to prepare the test to be just to be able to run them, things like that. So yeah, I really struggle. After some time, I remember I even gave up, started to write tests after because I couldn't find my way to do it proper TDD. It was a back and forth process over the years until I found a kind of a workflow that worked for me. And even these days, it depends a lot on the project that I'm working on. Because if you join company with a legacy project that is super tied to specific framework, it's really hard to TDD everything. So my approach is to try to TDD as much as I can. For the other part, at least I really want to have like enough coverage to be confident with the code that I'm delivering. But I'm not always TDDing all the time. It's always possible, but the time that you have to invest in order to get the code to a state where it's easy to TDD, it's not realistic.
Maybe I don't understand this TDD 100%.
Mm-hmm.
TDD means you start writing tests first and then you mm-hmm. fulfill them with the actual implementation of the feature or something that you want to deliver.
Yeah.
I always had problem starting with tests first in cases when domain is new for me or I need to use new library. There are some unknown things. And then it's hard for me to start with tests because I don't know what needs to be done, how it needs to be done. Because sometimes it depends. Sometimes implementation depends on the library that you use or maybe framework that you use.
Mm-hmm.
I know specific requirements, right? But when I know already, so there is no unknown components for me, then it's super easy to start with tests. And it's even, I would say that even easier to start with tests because then the actual implementation is cleaner. Because with tests, I kind of express what I want. Tests become my wishes or my vision, how implementation should behave, what is necessary, what is not, even how methods should be called.
Yeah.
And then I just basically type this code, then it works. So it's much easier. Then I basically read tests as a specification for what needs to be done.
TDD doesn't have to be for exploration, right? So you have a new library, you have a new domain. It's totally fine to start to write code, play around, write down some designs, use some diagrams. And
mm-hmm.
That doesn't have to be part of the TDD process. You can explore, you can get to know the libraries, domain, and so on. And once you have an idea, then you TDD your idea. And probably your design is going to change because TDD is going to force you to make it more testable, right? That's going to help your design for sure. But, well, I'm not the TDD advocate or guru, but my opinion is that it's totally fine to come with a design without TDDing or testing. And then once you have a better idea, better understanding, okay, now I'm going to TDD and see where I go. But at least I have a good understanding of the problem.
Totally agree. It's just no one says about this. When you read the book about testing and but yeah, you have to write tests first, no one says when exactly. There are some exceptions maybe.
Yeah.
I remember that I felt like ashamed. Sometimes I start with code first. I remember I was saying this in interviews, like I was trying to avoid, because people asking, oh, do you use TDD? Do you write? Because that's the requirement, right? We have to write tests first, of course. This is what everyone wants, but not that many people actually do.
No, yeah.
And I was like, no, sorry, not every time. I just want to be honest with you that, sometimes I write code first and then add some tests. And then I somehow realized that it's totally fine. I would advocate that it's better. So if you don't know the topic and you need to explore it, you need to play with tools.
Even with when you are designing, because most of the TDD people said that TDD is a design technique also, right? But you have to have a clear picture in your head, because most of the time you can architect or design your system in valid different ways, right? So you can have like 3-4 different ways of architecting your system. All of them are going to be valid. You have pros and cons and trade-offs. But those are things that you need to take into account before you start to write production code, right? So I guess my approach, that's my approach, as I mentioned before, I'm not a...
It works on my machine, kind of.
Right? Yeah, it works on my machine. So I explore the ideas and so on. And then when I have a path, then I start to TDD. And as I mentioned before, it also helps with my design, because when you are writing a client for your product or your code, then you get to the corner crisis and you are forced to think about, but this method is not good enough because it's quite coupled with this thing and it's not going to be easy to test. And that's what I get from TDD. I get that. And the most important thing, I get a super short feedback loop, right?
Yep.
When you are TDDing, it's like you have those very focused tests that you run. Ideally, they are fast, mm-hmm. and you are getting feedback all the time. So even if you are like me, making typos and crazy stuff, that you get super quick feedback and you get to fix it on time. Otherwise, you have to wait until you deploy it and run the server and go and click around, which takes a bit more time. That's my approach.
What kind of mistakes you could remember that you did while you were learning how to write tests properly? I could give an example. So first of all, I was testing not just my code, but some third-party libraries. Mm-hmm. And I was at some point testing the database returns me something. So the database works properly, or this Rails Active Record framework actually does what it's supposed to do, or these kind of stupid things. Now I know that it doesn't make sense. You have to just rely on these third parties. They must be tested by someone else, but it's not your code, right? And many books and many resources. You have to write tests just for your code. The rest supposed to be tested. At some point, I discovered stubs and mocks, and I was stubbing and mocking as much as possible.
Yeah. I also was there.
My tests were flying, because if you stub everything, like all these slow resources, like database or something, everything just flies because everything in memory. But then, of course, at some point you realize, for some reason, even if you remove the code, tests are still green. It's because they test something like ephemeral stuff. So these kind of mistakes. What else? You've mentioned already that sometimes the setup is so complex, mm-hmm. to basically run one test. You have to create like the whole world with a bunch of entities stored in database, right? And with some side effects. So when you create one entity, it actually creates 20 others and updates them and so on and so on. So it takes few seconds in the base case scenario to set up everything. And then the test run for, I don't know, half a millisecond or something like this. So lots of these mistakes, which are really, really hard to spot at the beginning, right? When you have just a couple tests, they run relatively fast. But then when you have something which exists already for a couple years, but still uses the same approach, then you realize that, design the way this test, the way designed, right? Mm-hmm. The way setup phase works is actually could be done better, but then it's really, really hard to change it and adjust it. So what do you have?
All of those, for sure. And then what does I have? Too many functional tests, for example, focusing too much on the outer layer. So using a lot of, back in the days was Selenium, right? this web driver that allows you to simulate clicks around in your web page, which is nice because you can automate the user behavior, but it's quite heavy because it has to use a browser, even if it's headless or whatever. But they are super slow. So rely too much on the functional side, forget about the unit tests, which are the ones that give you a lot of value, trying to test things that I don't own, as you mentioned, like third-party libraries, even libraries that connect to external API. So making real API calls from my tests. So that's another one I made.
Yeah.
Probably I made all of them. I'm making mistakes that I'm still not aware, but...
Yeah, that's right. It's like not every day, of course, but from time to time, even have these years of experience behind the shoulders, it's still possible sometimes to spot some mistakes that you do now.
For sure.
It's like never ending story, I would say. You've mentioned this functional test and Selenium test, which are kind of integration tests when you test the system from the point of view of the user.
Mm-hmm.
There are these two camps. Some people say, you have to write more, or you have to focus more on this integration test or end-to-end test, the test from the user perspective, right? Because you deliver in the end to the user and have less these unit tests. And there's another camp saying that, no, you have to focus on unit tests. You have to test basically every method and every case for each method and so on. So these are the behavior of your classes, of your methods, in which camp you are. Or maybe you're in the middle.
I'm in the middle. So I think you have to have a good coverage of unit tests because those are the ones that exercise your classes, all your public methods should be tested. But of course, if you don't have integration tests, it can be that the connection between all your units is not properly done and you're making a mess. But you can place you don't have to place your integration tests at the view level, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can have something in between after the user action. You can have a module class, wherever that is the one that takes care of calling the whole chain of objects that you have. So you can place your integration tests at that level. So you save a lot of time, but not going through the interface. And then what I usually do, I still like to have some user-facing tests. Let's call it future tests. For those ones, I like to only test the happy path because they are expensive. And it's like, okay, the user can log in, the user can access the system, the user can see the list of items, whatever. I like to go for the happy path in there. If the happy path is in there, the rest of the integration tests, I like to move it to the next layer. So I like to have a mix of everything with a bit more focus on the unit tests, maybe. That's my current approach, but change over the time.
I think I would also say that I'm in the same position, so somewhere in the middle between these two camps, because and unit tests and integration tests, they all make sense, right? You don't have to abandon one or another.
Yeah.
I think it's better not to be religious about one way or another way, right? If you stay in the middle, maybe test just important parts, right? The critical parts with some corner cases that you know most probably they might happen, so the chances for them are high. Cover them with tests.
Yeah.
And then it's always possible to add more. Right. So once you discover something, you just add more. It doesn't mean that if you deliver something, then okay, done. Right. Your work is done. You could always add more. Sometimes it happens that when you add more tests, you discover something. Like you discover some flaws in your code that you could fix. It's better if you discover them, not the users.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah.
Totally makes sense from time to time. Add more tests when you have spare time here and there.
This is like outside in or inside out TDD. I think I tend to do more outside in. So I start with top layer and drill down. But sometimes I also, if I'm really focusing on one class and I really want to refine on there, I go inside out.
Do you have a feeling that sometimes, let's say you have a project which is not greenfield project, so it runs for some time already, and you need to write some tests, so you add something there, or you need to fix a bug.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's extremely hard to write tests for the thing that you would like to fix.
Yeah.
In many cases, I spotted that if it's hard to write tests for something, it means the design of this system or of this component is wrong.
Yeah.
Somehow you cannot model this environment in which you could test it.
Mm-hmm.
Usually it means that it design could be done better.
Yeah.
Maybe with dependency injection, or maybe you just pass another parameters or somehow, or you initialize this component somehow differently, and then it's easier. And when it's easy to test, then code is cleaner, like your implementation is much cleaner to read and support. And then in the end, when it's cleaner, when you have clean code, you have less chances to introduce bugs because it's easy to read, it's easy to understand. When I feel that I'm struggle with writing tests, it means it's a signal for me to look inside of the code and maybe do some refactoring or something, some adjustments here and there. I know that sometimes people complain that I kind of trying to satisfy tests, but not the purpose of this code, right? I kind of write code to satisfy tests, which is, I'm not 100% agree with this. In your tests, you basically use your code as a user, as someone else who would use this code.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you struggle with using your own code, it means something is wrong.
Yeah.
Even if your code does what it's supposed to do, but it's hard to use. So it makes sense to improve it.
The only thing I don't like is when I see people writing code that is only used in the tests. So for example, you write a method that is only for initializing values on the tests, things like that. That is strange because it's not something that for your client, right? It's specific for your test because you're not capable of testing the thing properly. To me, it's usually a smell that the code design is not right. Yeah, you cannot compose your classes, you are not injecting the dependencies, something like that. So yeah, that's one thing that I don't like when people start to adjust the code just for the tests. But I don't know if that's what you were talking about.
I also, against this kind of coding, in my test, basically put myself in the shoes of the user of this code. Like if I would basically pass this code to someone else and ask this person to use the public interface that I created.
Yeah.
These are my tests. So my tests, they are trying to use what is available, just this public interface, to model some cases.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's hard, it means someone else might struggle with this.
Yeah.
This component might be used in different scenarios. Maybe it works fine for the one for which I created it, but for something similar, it might be already problematic, right? So it's a design issue.
Yeah.
Tests could help you to understand, at least to feel that it's problematic to use it in different scenarios, because in tests, you usually model these different scenarios.
Yeah.
Recent discovery,
mm-hmm.
I tend to write tests for additional reasons, not just because it's that's a proper software development, right? You have to write tests for your code. But it also works for me on psychological level, especially when it's a situation when something is broken on production, so production is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Then in these cases, I would definitely start with tests, maybe not first.
Mm-hmm.
They help me to relax, kind of.
For me, if I can write a test that highlights the bug, so if I can write a test that demonstrates the bug, that's the ideal scenario, because then I have something that I can run quickly and the number of times that I need until I get the fix. So I always try to write a test that shows the bug. That's usually my approach to bug fixing. Sometimes it's not possible.
Yeah.
If I can, I go for the test first, for sure.
It feels safer. This is my way to get into this zone, right? When, I'm super confident about the changes that I'm going to introduce, even if I know that I'm under stress at the moment, mm-hmm. because the thing is on fire and some users experience some issues with the system. And I know I'm more confident pushing it to production, this hot fix, even if it's one line. And especially in the system where I'm not the only one who works and the system is not, I don't know, 20 lines of code.
Yeah.
Even one line change could have some side effects that you cannot predict. Maybe you might even don't know that how it might affect other components of the system. That's why when you have tests and then the tests basically cover this scenario, they make sure that everything is fine. It feels much better.
Yeah, I made so many mistakes with hot fixes. It's like, yes, it's one liner and they need it done. And then I had a typo.
Yeah.
And I have to roll it back and I have to fix the typo, do it again, another typo or stupid thing again. And it's like, okay, in the end, I waste a lot of time that they could spend writing the test and prevent those issues in first place. If you ask me, I have to say that you have to write the test first and then you can prevent all that craziness. It's easy to say when you are sitting down here talking to you in a relaxed mode, but when you're in panic mode, you keep making mistakes.
But again, if you pay attention, you do your best to deliver the best test, or not the best test coverage, but the one which makes sense, and you do it every time with every change, you basically deliver what you is able to deliver in the best quality, then any hotfix will be easier. So in, I don't know, 5 years, the system is still there. Any hotfix will be much easier. And you could start with test first because the system is healthy. Everything is well balanced, is well done. So no issues. It's usually we pay this price and struggle with hotfixes and, I have to, spend 1 hour writing tests for the one character change because it's so hard. Yeah, maybe it's kind of, maybe a little bit your fault because you were, for years? you do this, you kind of, it could be done better, but maybe next time and then next time. Yeah. But then at some point it's already too late and then it's too late to actually make it better because now you have to spend a lot more time than if you take care of the system every time when you do a change and you follow these recommendations, which make sense. So, yeah.
We forgot one thing about the test that I think is also important, which is documentation. For me, tests are also documentation because this is already a client of your code. And sometimes when I find a class that I don't know what's doing, before reading through the class, I go to the test. And if the tests are well written, you can get a really nice idea of what's going on. So yeah, that's another huge benefit that you get from tests. You can get a good documentation from them.
When it doesn't look like a good documentation, it means something wrong with tests, right? It's also a sign that maybe tests could be done better.
Or even code. When you have huge tests, like we mentioned before, huge setups, a lot of steps, things like that, usually it's a smell that something is not going well with your design.
Yeah. So if we summarize, I think we could say that writing tests is super important. It doesn't necessarily to write tests right away, right? To use TDD and start with tests and then fulfill them with your code, right? It depends on scenario. But it definitely makes sense to pay attention and write good tests at the best of your ability. Maybe always learn, I would say, pay attention every time because you could learn new techniques from your colleagues, from books, from blog posts, also new libraries and frameworks are appearing from time to time, right? They might also improve your test writing skills. But it definitely makes sense to have them. If possible, do not deploy hot fixes without tests because you might later regret about this.
Yeah.
Because even something which looks simple as basically one character change, it might have some really unexpected side effects which might be slightly problematic to fix in the end.
Yep.
So that's it for today.
I think so.
Thank you for listening. In case of any questions, simply send us an email. You will find our address in the show notes. Keep being amazing. Bye.
Bye.